today comes from 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is a very powerful verse, and as I thought about it and considered it in light of a new year coming up, I wanted an example to illustrate a new and different point of view, a different outlook, if you will. For the saved person sees things in a different light. He's a new person. He serves a new master. His feet are set out on a new path. So priorities change. The worldview changes. And so I settled for an example on a man lost in the big woods. And I'm going to use that as an extended illustration. And if you spend any amount of time in the big woods, maybe some of you have, there will come a time sooner or later when you may become confused about exactly where you are. Or perhaps you'd rather say confused than lost. But when it gets along toward dusk at the end of the day, you're at decision time. And the choices are two. You can admit that you don't know how to get out, which kind of contradicts old Mr. Pride that says, I can get in and I can get out. But if you admit you're lost, then you dig up a suitable supply of firewood, you kindle a fire, you find a place by a big rock or an overhang or a deadfall that can kind of shelter you from the wind, and you set out to spend a night in the woods and then endeavor to get out in the morning. Now, although your friends will mock you with no mercy, still nonetheless, you can spend a night in the woods in relative safety, if the fire is big enough, even relative comfort. If you do everything while the daylight lingers, but if you don't, if you intend on getting out, you will either spend a miserable night in the woods, or this time of year you'll probably die of hypothermia at some point during the night. So let's look at our lost man, and he's struggling with the decision-making process. His pride is fighting with practicality, and he knows he's only got about an hour of daylight left. What must I do? What should I do? What's the sensible thing to do? What's the practical thing to do? And he comes up over a rise, and he sees something. Okay. He sees something. He sees a landmark. He gets a glimpse of the road. Big truck's running down the road and has a Jake brake on, makes a big noise. All of a sudden, boom, there it is. Or there's a river. Or a big old dead tree that he remembers going by on the way in. But whatever the landmark, okay, river, stream, road, house, doesn't matter. He knows where he is. Bingo. He's not lost anymore. With the knowledge of the landmark also comes the knowledge of how to get out. He can get out. His hour that he should have spent or might have spent gathering firewood and kindling a fire can easily be spent getting out to the road. And this information changes everything for him. In an instant. You can say that he becomes a new person due to the recognition of a landmark. And so I have 5 points that I want to focus on for our formerly lost man who becomes found. And then I want to apply those same 5 points to our verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So back to our lost man. Point number one is position. Position. The man who knows where he is also knows what to do. He knows his position. And the argument in his mind as to whether to stop and gather firewood or press on and try to go out is solved. That argument's done away. He needn't do so because he can get out. And the whole line of thought is discarded. It's not picked up again. You know, what shall I do? What shall I do? This means that while he was uncertain just a moment ago, now he's quite sure. The new knowledge of his position has done away with the uncertainty. He has direction. He knows where he is. And more importantly, he knows where he's going and how to get there. Point number two, after position, is assurance. Rather than wonder what must be done and hesitate between choices, the man knows what he must do. He knows roughly how many minutes it's going to take him to get out. He knows he's physically able to do so. The landmark he saw, the flash of recognition he had, is going to guide him out. And what does he know? His assurance is that rather than being under a rock shelf all night or tucked under a deadfall, shivering while he feeds the fire, he knows he's going to sleep in a warm bed and probably have a hot meal. So he has assurance. With the assurance, this is point number three, comes end of worry. If you get uncertain out in the woods, it is definitely a worry. Although we don't have lions and tigers in our woods, and we do have some bears, but usually they'll let you be. Still, spending the night in the woods is not a lot of fun. But the assurance that he has can also be seen as knowledge. Okay? And knowledge is like light driving away darkness. And they drive out worry, and they drive out fear. Worry and fear are great enemies of rational thought, and these things can bring on panic. That's deadly out in the woods. They had a big lot where my dad lived back in the 30s. They call it the Goodfellow Lot. And they had two roads, but there was no crossroads. And so between them was a big wooded lot, and a fella got lost up in there. And they could hear him yelling, but they weren't able to find him. You know, and the farmers went up in there, and eventually they did find him. It was snow, and they measured the distance between his footprints where he was running, and it was remarkable, the distance. But he was dead. What did he die of? He yelled and ran until he laid down and died. He died of being lost. Panic. And there's been other men found in the same state. And so we go on to our next point. Hope. Hope. Finding a remembered landmark yields hope. It's a tangible thing in any survival situation. The person who has hope will persevere. There are accounts of people getting ready to give up and laying down and readying themselves to die who were within an easy walk of safety. In one case, there was someone found that was within half an hour or even 15 minutes of a clearly marked trail or road. They didn't continue. They had the strength. They didn't continue. They had the means. They didn't continue. What did they lack? Hope. Hope. Substance of things not seen. They gave up because they didn't have hope. And without hope, further effort seemed like a waste of time, a waste of effort. No use. Why bother? So hope, it's one of those intangibles. You know, you can't stick it in the bottle and sell it to someone and say, here's a bottle of hope. But you can see the results of hope. You can see the results of the absence of hope. And finally, point five, joy. The person who makes the transition from worry and uncertainty about being lost, what do? Do I go on another 15 minutes, half an hour? Do I stop? Do I gather wood? What are the folks at home going to say when I don't come home? Blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, they see the landmark. They know where they are. They will invariably experience a surge of joy. Ha! I have this one now. The sight or sound of something that tells them where they are is going to produce joy. Now, the transition from lost to found can be compared with a person who's found the narrow way through faith in Christ. And our comparison between the lost man and the new believer is not exact. It's not perfect. But it's a vehicle to get us where we need to go in the realm of understanding. Because we're going to look at these same five points in relation to the Christian. The Christian has followed a very ancient path, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so, we'll look at the same five, starting with position. The verse tells us where the man is, okay? If any man be in Christ, he is in Christ. He's been saved. Maybe this just happened. So he's gone from lost to found in a moment. Unlike our lost man who sees a landmark, the new man in Christ doesn't know the exact direction the rest of his life is going to take. Will he be a preacher? Will he be a deacon? Will he be a Sunday school teacher? Will he be a missionary? Will he be a choir leader? Will he be something else? At the moment of salvation, it's not known. But what is known is that you are in Christ, and Christ is in you. So wherever you go or whatever you do, he will go with you. His purposes will be at work, and you might not be able to see those purposes working going forward, all right? Perhaps none of us are sharp enough or spiritual enough or sensitive enough to see these things going forward. But as you look back on your life, you can see many things where you have been guided and directed, perhaps against your will, into areas where you can be of service, where you can be of value, or perhaps where you're needed. Assurance. Our lost man has the assurance that he can get out. The man in Christ has assurance in his salvation. And so if we turn to John chapter 10, I want to look at the verses 27 to 30. And he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish. And no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The man in Christ has been adopted into the family of God. "For God predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will." So through Christ, we come to the Father who adopts us into the family. This means, like the lost man that sees a landmark, we know where we're going. We've taken the first steps on the road to eternity. We don't have to wait until we pass. We don't have to wait till Christ returns for eternity. Of course, we started in on it now. When will we finish it? The answer is never. And so, we come to end of worry. Like the man debating on gathering firewood to prepare for a night in the woods, the unsaved person is often plagued by uncertainty about choices in their life. Like the man that doesn't want to admit he can't get out, they might struggle with pride, saying, "Well, I don't need something else, I'm good enough." Or, "I don't need something else, I can do it on my own. I could manage." That's a very human reaction and emotion. But then, what is best? What should I do? What's right? What's wrong? What standard should be used? Should I run with the famous standard, "Everybody does it," or "Billy does it," or "Bobby does it," or "It seems to be accepted by the current culture"? The Christian is to live day by day with the knowledge that the Father, who feeds the sparrows, knows about our needs. Take no thought for the morrow, For the things of the morrow shall take thought for themselves. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. And which of you can add a cubit to his height by taking thought? You can't even do that. We know that God is working with us and is in us to further his ends. And we can trust him as he does so. So we need not be fearful people, like the man running back in the Goodfellow lot. We need not panic. Hope. Hope is tangible in the Christian life. We hope for things we have not seen, but we have faith we will yet see them. In Romans, Paul says we've been saved in hope. But hope that is seen cannot be hope. For why would one hope for what he already sees? Rather, we hope for what we do not see, and with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. Seems like as I grow older, I go to more funerals of friends or acquaintances. In the funeral service, you're going to find a stark difference between the faithful Christian and the unbeliever. I've seen funerals where it seemed to me to get so dark in the church, I could hardly wait to get outside in the sunshine. It was not physical darkness. It was spiritual darkness. And the darkness was because of one thing, the lack of hope. Finally, joy. The lost man rejoices when he sees something or hears something, finds that landmark he recognizes, and he knows where he is. He knows he's okay. I was confused in the woods one time down in Pennsylvania's National Forest, and there was a pumping house and a compressor house in the woods that had a light in the compressor. It had a kind of a thump, 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 and it was late. It was dusky, and I heard that thump, thump, thump. And so I headed for that and thus went out. I had a deer hit and was taking a shortcut between roads. Bad idea. The shortcut led right into a cut down area full of tops adjacent to a hemlock swamp. And if I hadn't pitched off the mountaintop and had that big hill, I would have turned around and went back the way I came. I got home that night with my deer, I think, at about 11:30. But we can't talk about that now. The man that was lost, when he sees or hears something, experience a brief rush of joy. Oh, what a relief. I know what it's all about now. But it's a fairly brief rush of joy. He still has to take the necessary actions to walk out or drag his deer out, as the case might be. But he's aided by the newly found knowledge of where he is. The new Christian has also made the transition from lost to found, from the enemy of God to the Son of God, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. The battle with pride is over. Okay. The struggle to find a way is over, because his feet now are set on the narrow way. And so there's joy at the time of salvation, but it's not as of short duration as the man who was lost. because it's later going to turn into the joy of service, or the joy of study, or the joy of further knowledge. Perhaps the joy of teaching others. The Christian joy of being found then is not a one-time brief flash of joy. It's a gate, an entrance, if you will, to a lifetime of joy. So, like our man that was confused out in the woods, the old concerns and choices have passed away. They're discarded as no longer relevant and no longer necessary. I don't need to obsess about that. I know where I'm going. I know the standard I need to use. I know right from wrong. The old things are passed away. So what will replace these old things? Our lost man is going to go out of the woods. He's going to find his vehicle. He's going to go home. You know, he's going to come in the door. His wife's going to say, "About time you got home. I better hold it supper for you." But there's a hot supper and a warm bed at the end of the road for him. And so we see that in many ways that flash of recognition when he popped up over the rise and saw his landmark has made all things new for him in the particular circumstance of being confused in the woods. He's no longer confused. And just so our saved man has become a new creature. He's different. The old things that were important to him are now of little or no importance. He can honestly say, doesn't matter. Paul said, I've encountered the loss of everything. Everything I had before is lost. To me, that stuff's like rubbish. It's like something you throw out outside the city walls. When I compare it to knowing Christ, even when I compare it to what? The fellowship of his sufferings. And so to suffer with Christ, according to Paul, is far better than to be out partying with sinners. And so, like the worry of gathering firewood or kindling a fire or looking for a place where the fire will be reflected back at him to keep warm, those things can't interest him anymore. They turn from very real choices to abstract and trivia. They're not important. There's simply no need for him in the light of the reality of the new life. For him, all things have become new. And so in the light of a new year coming up pretty soon, let's think about this verse. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so, in newness of life, we plunge forward into the new year. Where exactly is it going to take us? I can't tell you. I can tell you that Christ will go with you as you go. And the path you take is going to be with him and working toward the ends he's trying to perfect in your life. We don't always go where we expect. We don't always go where we wish. But we always go with Christ. And so let's keep that thought as we approach a new year. We'll have our closing hymn now, number 18.